We now begin the ninth parak of Masechet Sanhedrin. This is Parak Tes, Mishnah Aleph 9:1, and unfortunately the unpleasantries continue. We are continuing to discuss execution by the Beis Din. We have listed already that there are four types of execution. The first of the four we elaborated on was Skila, of which there were 18 different crimes. We now move on to the second of the four, which is Sreifa. And Sreifa will have a total of 10 crimes for which the punishment will be Sreifa, burning. That's again the molten metal down the throat. The Psukim actually only specify two in the Chumash. One is the Bas Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, who is married and then is adulterous, so she gets Sreifa. And then also one who sleeps with his mother-in-law, his wife's mother, also gets Sreifa. Regarding the first one, it's very unusual, in as much as normally when we have an Erva situation where two people are prohibited from sleeping together, the punishment usually is that both, assuming both were consensual, both agreed to it, so then both would get the same punishment. The exception is the Bas Kohen Shezinta, if the daughter of the Kohen has some sort of adulterous affair, so she gets Sreifa, while the paramour, the adulterer, he would get Chenek. Now, as far as the Sreifa for the mother-in-law goes, so first of all, the Mishnah says it in a kind of hard-to-understand way, but that'll be easy enough to navigate. But from there, Chazal actually extrapolate eight more kind of similar cases for a total of nine. Eight in addition to the one of the mother-in-law. So in total, you have nine different forbidden relationships, for which the penalty is a Sreifa, and those we can divide three categories of three, as we'll see in the Mishnah in a moment. So the Mishnah says inside, Ve'elu hen and Nisrafin, the following people would get potentially the punishment of Sreifa. It's Habal Isha Uvita, one who sleeps with a woman and her daughter. So in this context, the way to properly understand this Mishnah is that the daughter is the man's legal kosher wife, and the woman, who's prohibited, is his wife's mother, i.e. his mother-in-law. So if a man sleeps with his mother-in-law, that means the mother of his legally married wife, you know, she's no longer around, then that would be a penalty of a Sreifa. Coming back to that in a moment, Uvas Kohen Shezinza, also says the Mishnah, if you have a woman who's the daughter of a Kohen who is adulterous after she's married, so then she gets Sreifa as well. You'll note here that the Mishnah doesn't say Haba'al Bas Kohen, like it would in other cases of Arayos. It says the Bas Kohen Shezinza, because it's only she, that Kohen's daughter, who gets the Sreifa, not the adulterer. Okay, now, says the Mishnah further, Yesh Bechlal Isha Uvita, within the category, if you will, or learned out from the primary case of a woman and her daughter, again, that means one's mother-in-law, you have a total of nine total cases, including that one itself. And they're in three groups of three. The first group of three is Bita, Uvas Vito, Uvas Vino. Now, these three are, if one sleeps with his daughter or his granddaughter, and these are children that were born, like that are his blood relatives, if you will, they're his daughter or his granddaughter, but the woman who he originally slept with was not his legal wife, was just a woman. So it's she's not his wife, but yet she produced children, so then the daughter or the granddaughter that comes either from I'll call it his girlfriend, right? His girlfriend's daughter's daughter or his girlfriend's son's daughter, in addition to his girlfriend's daughter, those three are all forbidden to him. In addition, we have Uvas Ishto, Uvas Vita, Uvas Bena. So here we have either, of course, a person's Bas Ishto means the daughter of his wife. So that means like it could be just his good old-fashioned daughter in addition to his wife. But it could also be that we're talking here about a stepdaughter. In other words, a man, Reuven, marries a woman, and she has a daughter who is not his biological daughter. It's his stepdaughter. That would be the Bas Ishto also. And then if that woman also has, I'll call it, other granddaughters that are essentially this man's step-granddaughters, it's his wife's granddaughters, but they're not his biological granddaughters, again, the Isser of Sreifa. So it's Bas Ishto, the daughter of his wife, Ubas Bita, the daughter of her daughter, and Bas Bena, the daughter of her son, this man's step-grandchildren. Okay? And now, The last three are chamoso, his mother-in-law. That's the same, it's repeating. That's the isha in the isho vita. So chamoso means his mother-in-law, meaning his wife's mother. And also his wife's grandmother's, either her mother's mother or her father's mother. So ve'em chamoso means the mother of his mother-in-law, meaning his wife's maternal grandmother, and ve'em chamiv, the mother of his father-in-law, again his wife's paternal grandmother. Okay, so those are the nine total, eight plus. That's the mother-in-law plus the amor learned from it, and in addition to the other one we have the bus. A kohen shezinsa brings you to 10, so that's a total of 10 crimes for which the penalty is potentially sreifa. Now, the Mishnah continues on in our version of the Mishnah here. It's the same Mishnah, in the Bavli, it's a new Mishnah. We're now going to go on to Ve'eluhen ha-neharagim, the following the people who are going to be potentially liable to beheading. Okay, saif, which means a sword. Neherag could mean just a generic word for killing, or it means a specific case. In this context here, it means by beheading, by like decapitation with a sword. Okay, so in total, there are going to be two people who are neherag, who get hereg. And they are harotzeach, a murderer, the ansheir hanidachas, and the members of a city that was turned to idolatry. Okay, so let's just talk about the hanidachas first again. A total of two. You only have two beheadings. So if you're keeping track here, you had 18 skila plus 10 sreifa, brings you 28, plus two more hereg beheadings, gives you to 30. And then, of course, we'll have six more at the end, which will be the chenek. Okay, so here we are in the hereg. So the second of the two was ansheir nidachas. That means the residents of the city that was turned to idol worship. So that means remember we had the mesis and the mediach before. The mediach is the person who turns the city to idolatry. The ir nidachas is the city that was turned. So anybody who's a resident of that city, who in fact worshiped idols, is liable to a death penalty. But unlike the usual case where an Ovid of Avodah Zarah gets skila, we saw that earlier on, if this person served idols as part of an ir nidachas of a whole city in which the majority of the city turned to idolatry, so then the punishment, instead of being skila, stoning, is hereg, beheading. Okay? That's that. As far as rotzeach goes, we're going to elaborate further in the next couple of Mishnayos, but it means simply a murderer, someone who willfully kills a Jew in a way that he does what he could to kill him, and the person, in fact, dies. Okay, so now we're going to elaborate on rotzeach more. The Mishnah continues on, and it says as follows. Rotzeach shehika esreehu be'evan uvavarzel. If Reuven, the murderer, strikes Shimon, his fellow Jew, with an evan, a rock, or bazel, with a metal, that could be either hitting him over the head with a metal pipe or stabbing him in the heart with a dagger, a metal dagger, whatever it is. Or even if v'kavash alav l'socha maim l'socha or, even if Reuven didn't push Shimon into the water, but now Reuven finds Shimon in the water and he holds his head down until he suffocates. So even though he didn't push him in, he caused him directly to die with his own hands, whether, again, with his metal or wood or stone or by suffocating him directly, burning him in a fire and the like. V'meis, if Shimon the victim dies, chayav, then Reuven is a murderer and he's liable to the death penalty by hereg. Again, of course, he had to have had warning ahead of time, don't do that or they're going to kill you. He does it anyways. Now, if dachaf olasocha mayim, if Reuven pushed Shimon into the water, or even to a fire, v'yachol alos misham, and Shimon could have gotten out. In other words, Reuven pushed Shimon into the pool. Shimon should have gone out of the pool, but Shimon then got a leg cramp and didn't make it out or something. Then since what Reuven did shouldn't have killed Shimon, even though it did, since it wasn't like a lethal act, so therefore he's going to be putter. Reuven will be putter, meaning Reuven's a bad guy, but he's not a murderer, and therefore be exempt from execution. Similarly, if Reuven does something which causes the death of Shimon, but it's sort of not him directly, but it's indirect, he'll also be exempt, although now he's becoming really a murderer, but he'll be exempt. He is a murderer in those cases, but he is going to be exempt from DNA Adam, from the Bez Din executing him. For example, Shisa Bo Esa Kelev, or Shisa Bo Esa Nachash. if Reuven sets the dogs on Shimon to attack him, okay? And even these are killer pit bulls that are going to rip him to shreds. But at the end of the day, what did Reuven do, whether he was sending the dogs or sending a snake? He loosed the dogs or snake onto Shimon, but he didn't. It's the dogs that killed Shimon, not Reuven. So then even though really Reuven is a murderer because he caused Shimon's death directly, intentionally, willfully, nevertheless, Putter, he'll be exempt because he himself didn't do the killing. It's the dogs that did the killing or the snake that did the killing. Now, the next case is like a machlokas, it's an unusual machlokas at Tanaim here. What happens if Reuven takes this, you know, takes the viper, the poisonous snake, and he sticks its fangs straight into Shimon? Okay? So, everyone would agree that if you like dip a needle into poison and you stick the poison needle into a person and the person dies, of course that's called murder. It's the same as injecting them with poison or stabbing them in the heart. It's all the same. And that would be, of course, an intentional murder, for which the punishment would be, in this case, herig. The question is the snake's fangs being inserted into the victim like sticking in a poisoned, poison needle, a poison dart or something? Or is it like setting the snake to attack him and the snake is doing the killing? So it really depends on whether or not like the venom is kind of like in the fangs and ready to go, or if the snake has to sort of like make a decision to release its venom. Okay, then that is Machlokas Tanaim over here, as you see. So inside it says, Hishich bo es nachash. If Reuven causes Shimon to get killed by, he causes a snake to kill Shimon by sticking, Reuven sticks the fangs of the snake straight into Shimon. So, Rabbi Huda Machai, Rabbi Huda says, listen, that's, you've killed him. It's like sticking a poison dart into him, the poison's ready to go, and you're sticking the poison in. But Chacham Pochen, the Chacham say no. Chacham say the snake has sort of like, there's no venom sitting in the fangs waiting to leak out automatically. The snake has to like do its snake thing and eject the venom into the fangs, and from there inject it into the person. So therefore the Chacham say it's indirect and the guy is Putter. Reuven is Putter. The Rambam Paskins like that, like the Chachamim. He does speak out that this, in all these cases, like sticking the dogs or sticking the snake, Reuven is a murderer. He's a Rotzeach, just that he'll be exempt from execution down here by the Bezdin, and Shemaim will have to get him. Finally, says the Mishnah, really this is like would be a new Mishnah again in the Bavli. Hamakes chavero bein be'evin bein be'egrof. If one strikes his fellow Jew, whether with a rock or with his fist, va'amdu lamisa, and the Bezin says, listen, Reuven punched Shimon, and Shimon ends up in the ICU, and the Bezin go to see Shimon, and they say, oh no, Shimon, this was a lethal blow, and it's just a matter of time, and then Shimon is going to die. So that means that Reuven essentially is a murderer, just that Shimon hasn't died yet. So what would actually happen in that case is, the Mishnah says, oh sorry, what would happen in that case then already would be that the Bezin would essentially seize and kind of put Reuven in jail, waiting to see what happens next, okay? But if what happens next, says the Mishnah, is v'hukal mamashahaya, if the severity of his situation, Shimon's situation, lightens up, and like they take him out of the ICU, and like he's going to make a miraculous recovery, they think. But then, ula'achar mekan hichbid v'meis, but then he like relapses back, and Shimon ends up dying. So then chayev, then Reuven will be chayev, for hereg, for being executed, because since the Bezin ascertained that Reuven's attack was like a lethal attack, it just took some time, even if, you know, he temporarily bounced back, that doesn't make a difference. The death was a death blow, was inflicted by a death blow, and therefore Reuven is chayv. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer Patur, Rabbi Nechemiah says, no, if he got better, and then even if he relapsed back again, so then Patur, then Reuven will be exempt, because Shiraglaim Ladavar, because there's a basis to think that it wasn't Reuven's blow alone that caused Shimon to die. Maybe, you know, Shimon got an infection or something afterwards, and it's Reuven's blow plus the subsequent, you know, fungal infection which killed Shimon. And therefore, Reuven should be Pater. That's Reb Nechemiah's Mahalech. The Halach is like Tanakama. Interesting, the Rambam learns, based on a Girsa that, I'm not sure, that you see like Girsa in Yerushalmi, for example, that the Raglayim Ladavar actually goes on the previous case, meaning the way it should be read, and the way the Rambam posits it, is if Reuven hits Shimon, the Bezin ascertains that Shimon was dealt a death blow, and it's just a matter of time. Even if Shimon gets better, and then he gets worse again, So then there's the regla and the davar that the original blow was what caused the death, and therefore Reuven will be chayev. Just to speak it out, in the event that Shimon ultimately does make this miraculous recovery and he doesn't die, then Reuven, of course, will still be obligated to make restitution to him like anybody who is chovel b'chavero. Since Reuven injured Shimon, he'll have to pay for Reuven's nezek, any like permanent damage to him, as well as tsar, the physical pain he suffered, the boshas, the emotional pain he suffered, the ripui, the medical bills, and the shevis, the unemployment, you know, his lack of being able to be employed until he recovered. That he'll have to pay. And in terms of what it means to recover, like how do you decide when the person's recovered fully, that if he relapsed back and died, that the killer would be innocent? So the Rambam says basically that he walks like a normal person in the shuk, which means essentially, you know, he gets up out of the hospital and he's moving around like regular people. At that point, we say he's recovered. And if he would relapse and die, we would say that's not, everyone would agree at that point, that Reuven is not considered to be the sole source of the reason this person's death, and therefore Reuven will be exempt at all events from execution.